Welcome to Awesome Talk, a production of Arkansas State University Mountain Home with support from KTLO. Hi, I'm Christy Kern, and I'll be introducing you to the awesome people and programs right here in our community on the campus of ASU Mountain Home.
Welcome to another edition of Awesome Talk. This is Jacob Hutchinson, your host, Title III Director at ASUMH. And today I am joined by modern-day troubadour Sam Adams, who has an upcoming presentation for the Apex series here at ASUMH. Hello, Sam.
Hello. Thank you for having me here today. It's very interesting to be able to speak a little about what I'm doing.
All right. And so let's first, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a student here at ASUMH?
I am indeed. I've been going here. This is my second year now, getting ready to graduate here in about a month.
Getting ready to graduate. What are you graduating with a degree in?
I'm getting my associate's done right now, just trying to get that out of the way, get that over with, and transfer to somewhere.
Do you have a college picked out?
I do indeed. U of A over in Fayetteville looks like it's going to be my next home for the next couple of years.
Awesome. What do you plan to major in at U of A?
Well, I'm hoping to get a bachelor's in biology done. And with that, I don't want to just stop there. There's expectations and stuff down the road I'd like to also complete.
Cool. Do you care to share any of those with us right now?
Yeah. So as much as I love biology, and I do very much love biology, I've also had a very large passion for a number of years for stars and astronomy. And
okay.
I love all that kind of stuff. I think it just is quite literally out of this world. So I decided that I wanted to merge the two, and it turns out there's an expanding field of astronomy and biology called astrobiology, and that's something that I'm very much interested in going into.
Wow, okay, that sounds really cool. So almost the, well, of course, as a listener, we're probably immediately thinking of like the search for extraterrestrial life, that type of thing, but it probably all goes all the way down to just tiny little single-celled organisms and just all sorts of stuff.
Completely cool. Right. Yeah, it's everything from looking at exoplanets, which is just planets outside of our system, to places that are inhabitable from atmosphere and searching for tiny little specks, like you said, of life in and around these different places.
Neat. Well, I wish you all the best in that. So
appreciate
you're
it.
A man of many interests and talents then, because the presentation you're doing for Apex doesn't have nearly as much to do with biology or astronomy, does it?
No, it does not. I could probably fit it in there somewhere, but not the main gist of it, no.
So tell us a little bit about it. What is it about?
Well, I've always kind of been interested in music. I come from a musical family, and a big part of music, at least in the whole history of America and in the history of the world, is the ballad style and the way that the ballad has changed, the way it's grown and evolved over the years. It's something that I've taken into interest, especially since I've written a few things myself. And I just kind of wanted to explain to people how it's changed, also why it's important, because it is important to know. It's part of our history. And just do it in a way that's fun and able to be understood and play some examples and have some fun with it.
So what is a ballad?
It's an excellent question. There's a whole list of things that I'll get into whenever we have the actual presentation, but basically what you have to know starting out, there's story involved, and there's a blending of music and story. Doesn't always have to be the music involved, it can just be lyrical, but a ballad at its core is a tale being told, and something that more likely than not is something that people would relate to and understand. It tells a story of us, I guess you could say.
Define us.
Humanity en masse, you know?
Humanity en masse. So it's a story told often through song. It's got a poetic style to it as well.
Very much so.
And you came to this because you're also interested in music.
I'm indeed. I've been playing for a while now and just sort of listening to music and songs when I was growing up, hearing it in the car, hearing my dad play it. Style that always kind of stood with me and stuck with me was the ballad style, because I'm a fan of storytelling. I like any kind of media that has to do with stories, be it books, songs, movies, games, as long as it has a good style to it, good writing, a story that is of interest, I love it. And with music being such a large part of my life, I figured what better way to explain this and expand upon this than finding that niche as the ballad style.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're a musician. How many guitars do you have?
Well, it depends on how many I want to talk about, because if my mom listens to this, she might not be too happy about that. she might not know about one or two of them, but admittedly, I can talk about three.
Okay.
Four. Yeah, let's go with four.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of become a hobby of mine whenever I have the cash to collect.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a guitarist, and he has, I think, 13 or so guitars, including some really nice ones. So
it's an addiction.
I always find that, yeah, you can get a guitarist to talk about their guitars like some parents talk about their children and everything.
You definitely can.
So does the one that you have been seen around campus with and that you're using, is it your favorite guitar?
It's typically my go-to, yeah.
What is it?
It's a Washburn acoustic electric, and okay. Full-sized. The one that I started on whenever I was a freshman in high school was a parlor size, which is, it's smaller.
Yeah.
I'd say about 3/4 the size of a regular guitar, which didn't make much sense because I was a large guy, and it looked kind of strange to be playing what looked like a ukulele's bigger cousin, but I made it work.
So you've only been playing since you were a freshman in high school?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir. That's how I started.
Must have some natural talent there, too.
Well, I don't know about all that, but it's just, I have a love for it. And I've spent a fair bit of time practicing, not as much as I should, according to my teacher. But, you know, it's something that if it speaks to you, you pick it up and you run with it. And that's part of what I love about music, is that it's sort of innate in people.
Nice, yeah. And I've noticed that when I saw part of it this morning, that you do have a certain knack for performance and for matching pitch and everything when you're doing the performance part of the ballad, setting those poems to music and everything.
Yes, sir.
So how long have you been working at that?
With incorporating singing into my playing?
Yeah, into your playing. And
For the first couple of years, I was really more focused on just figuring out how to play the guitar right, how to do it right. I hadn't started singing until, probably senior year. I started playing a gig around town every once in a while. I'd go to the Cove by the Square and play an open mic night and just kind of get a feel for it. And from feedback from others and just listening to it myself, I thought that it kind of sounded a little good. So kept going at it and enjoying it. And sure enough, I was able to blend vocals with guitar playing in a way that I thought was enjoyable for me. I have a great time doing it, and I hope everybody enjoys it, but I think it's just fun.
Okay, so you have it as sort of a creative pursuit and endeavor,
mm-hmm.
and do you have other projects along these interests? You know, do you play in another band or anything like that?
Well, there's been a couple of times I've opened for certain people, my dad's band. Of course, I don't really want to make it sound like I'm plugging it for the podcast, but he's part of the Melodicats here in town, and a couple of times that he's played with his band in places, I've opened for them, done little things like that. I'm not part of a band myself. I'm kind of a solo act, and but I enjoy it that way. I think
singer-songwriter in the sort of Bob Dylan.
Yeah, exactly.
It's tradition.
It's almost, I don't want to, I guess I could romanticize it. It's sort of intimate, the connection a musician has with their instrument. And I enjoy expressing that. And I think it's pretty fun.
And, you know, there's something to be said about just being the sole person up there on stage, just yourself and a guitar. There's nowhere to shift any blame or anything.
No, not a bit.
If it goes wrong, it's all you one way or the other, right?
It is. And I've found that 9 times out of 10, the people themselves don't necessarily see a mistake. But boy, whenever you're playing and you hit something wrong, it sticks with you. It really sticks with you, and it's not a great feeling. But, you know, it's little things you pick up and learn along the way. It's enjoyable, though. I do have a fair bit of a time up there. I usually get pretty nervous whenever I start, but I feel like that's kind of common.
Right, and you sort of fall into a groove as it goes along.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit more about the presentation you're doing. It involves the history of the ballad. You're also doing some performances of ballads along with music.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to be going over, not to give too much away, but essentially sort of how the ballad originated, at least the American version. Every culture kind of has a concept of it, but I want to focus on
American
ours.
Ballads.
Yeah, American ballads and the history of that. And I'll go throughout the origins, different examples of how it's changed, when it's changed, the reasons behind it and the stories behind it, and give some examples. I'll bring up blues ballads for one. And in that, I'll play a song that is categorized in the blues ballad style and give the history of why it was made and all that stuff. So just sort of a walk through musical history with accompaniment to narrate it, I suppose.
So was there one ballad that you really like that you just couldn't find a place to put in your presentation?
Yeah, there was a couple of different ones, actually. I have a snippet of one that it's long. It would be hard to shoehorn it into the presentation. I really like Marty Robbins, and Big Iron is a great song, and it's one people recognize.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a little bit of it in there. I couldn't fit the whole thing, unfortunately.
No, it's such a famous one. Whenever I hear it, there's also an old Bugs Bunny cartoon that uses the instrumentation from Big Iron.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a classic wood.
Yep.
So Marty Robbins, Big Iron.
Always kind of sang to me, and I love it. I think it's fun. I like the whole Wild West and cowboy sort of aesthetic.
What is it, the title of that album, something like Western Songs and Gunfighter Songs and Western Ballads or something to that effect?
Something
I can't remember
that.
It exactly.
It's a long title.
Yeah.
It goes for half the page. But, yeah, no, it's something along those lines.
Yeah, even my 14-year-old knows Big Iron. So.
Yeah. No, and that's part of why I thought ballads would be so interesting, because people still know them.
Even though they don't realize that they know them, you know?
Exactly.
But that's a ballad.
Sure is. Jimmy Driftwood, I'm going to speak a little bit about him, but the Battle of New Orleans,
yes.
1814, took a little trip.
Oh, yeah.
People know that, and they might not know that it falls into the ballad category or where it comes from, but people know it. And
My favorite line in that one is about the alligator
yes.
when they powdered his behind.
Yeah, I never heard that part before, so when I was researching it,
really?
I got to that section, yeah. It took me by surprise. I don't know if there's any validity to it, but...
No, probably not.
Well, I mean, depending on how you see it, because...
It speaks to the resourcefulness of...
it does.
Of, Southern...
the Patriot Army versus the British.
Yeah, that time, yes.
Definitely does. I could just imagine if it did actually happen, the fear on these redcoats' faces as they see a gorilla shooting... Or not gorilla. Alligator shooting shrapnel out of it. I mean, that would put the fear of God in you, I'd say.
Yeah.
It should be a great time either way, though.
Yeah. So, when is this?
This is on a week from today. I believe it's April 25th is the correct day, from noon to 1, and then another from 6 o'clock to 7.
And that is in McMullen Hall.
Sure is.
The Dreyer Building at ASUMH.
D200, I believe, is the right place. And, you know, bring family, bring friends, anybody. It's just an opportunity for you to learn a little bit more about American culture, how it's shaped, and some history and some music along the way. So, should be fun for everybody.
Next Saturday, or next Tuesday, folks.
Excuse me.
Sam Adams, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Awesome Talk. We're so excited to tell you about the great things going on our campus. And if you know someone who's awesome that you'd like to hear more about or from, please contact me at ASU Mountain Home and let me know who that is, and we'll try to get them on a show. I am Christy Kern. I'm at 508-6109, and I would love to hear from you. If you need more information about getting started at ASUMH, you can visit our website at asumh.edu.
This has been Awesome Talk, a production of ASU Mountain Home.